Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Helles Foundation and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, your weekly look at the Louisiana literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week we'll preview the 11th annual New Orleans Poetry Festival with founder Bill Lavender and executive director Sean Monroe. We'll also hear from participant poet Chuck Perkins. It's April, and that means it's Poetry Month. And here in New Orleans, that means it's time for the New Orleans Poetry Festival and Small Press Book Fair. Now in its 10th year?
11th.
It's our 11th year.
Actually, it's the 12th year.
12 is going up 11th, every minute.
Well, it's the 11th episode because we had to cancel COVID year.
Oh, of course. Of course. That was a terrible year.
So this is the 11th.
Well, it is such a pleasure to welcome Bill Lavender, one of the festival's founders, and Sean Monroe, who is the new executive director.
That's me.
And this is, you know, how did this time go by this fast? Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
So talk about some of the changes, Bill.
The main change is that it has grown exponentially. We used to have to beat the bushes to find enough poets to fill all the slots. This year we had to, this was our first year where we had to worry about people getting mad at us because we had to turn people down.
Wow.
We had to, you know, we solicit proposals for readings and panel discussions and things like that. And we had more than 100 that we had to turn down this year.
Oh, Bill, that's amazing.
And we had about 230 proposals this year.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of reading, Sean.
It is. A lot of great poetry happening out there.
More than 400 poets registered as participants. We had to expand the venue from our traditional place, the New Orleans Healing Center. We had to expand outward, and we've got several venues up and down St. Claude. And we added a day. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And the big changes I've seen it kind of from the beginning and evolving over time is that it's really become increasingly international.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you are having poets from all over the world now.
Yeah, this year's our focus is on Mexico. Sean has taken a couple of trips to Mexico City
to facilitate research trips.
Yeah.
A likely story.
Yeah.
My favorite story. The International Night this year is featuring Mexican poets. We've got about 4 poets and 2 translators. We got Lucia Hinojosa Gaciola, who's coming in from Mexico City. We got Karen Vieira, who's coming in from Puebla, Mexico. We've got Hugo Garcia Manriquez, who's coming in from Oakland by way of Mexico City. We've got Roman Lujan, who's coming in by way of Berkeley from Mexico City. Mm-hmm. And then 2 great translators. One of them is local, Cameron Lovejoy. And then another one is coming from Mexico City, Whitney DeVos.
Wow.
And that's going to be our International Night feature Friday night from 7 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. I believe that's April 17th at Cafe Istanbul.
Wow.
So that'll be a bunch of poets, musicians, visual arts stuff happening in there. It'll be a wild night in Cafe Istanbul for that one.
Now, the great thing about this festival, too, is that it really offers something for everyone. I mean, there are, of course, the readings that you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
You've started this new kind of taking the festival on the road in advance to different locations around Louisiana. And this year, you're doing something unusual in taking the festival to Angola. So
yeah, that's
how did that come about?
Actually, that was Allison Pellegrin's initiative.
State Poet Laureate.
We did it last year, yeah, when she was Poet Laureate. And she put it together with our logistical support. We're really excited about that. And we're also doing a show at Nichols, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to Nichols State on Wednesday next week. It'll have featured two of the Mexican poets, Lucia and Roman, a couple board members, and some poets from Nicholls State University as well.
Now, one of the other things about this festival is that there are all different types of workshops. If you're a shy poet, if there is such a thing, and I think there is, if you're a shy poet and you don't feel comfortable reading your work, you can go and listen. You can listen to workshops on translations, workshops on technique. But if you're more energetic, there are generative workshops where you can produce work and read it on the spot. Mm-hmm. So you've struck a kind of balance with those kinds of workshops. Don't you think that's been important?
Oh, yeah. The workshops have expanded greatly. I think when I first started working with Poetry Fest, we had maybe 3 or 4 workshops over the weekend. And now we've got about 12 workshops.
Wow.
This year, we've partnered with the Collage Institute, who has some space up in the New Orleans Healing Center.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Talk about that event.
And so they've generously offered us the space of their studio. But on Sunday, they're doing a workshop with poetry and collage. So they're going to have a bunch of stuff to cut out and make collages. And they have some artists visiting from around the country who are going to be in town at their kind of residency there at the Collage Institute, who are going to teach this workshop and lead it and stuff. And that's on Sunday from like 10 to 12 a.m.
And there's the bookmaking workshop. And then there's how to animate your poem.
That one's going to be a wild one.
Talk about that.
I've been looking at that one, talking with the organizer and stuff, and there's going to be like an app that people download and like animate the poems in their phones and some freaky stuff going on that one. So if you want to animate your poems, that's a cool one to go to.
Tell us too about Mia Kang's performance piece, Teresa, I Miss You.
Oh.
That sounds like something you could really bump into.
Yeah, so she's basically going to dress as a ghost and wander around the festival.
Yeah.
Kind of reciting Teresa Gyokcha's, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, some of her poetry and stuff like that. So she's going to be kind of a roving kind of exhibit experiment ghost. She'll be the ghost walking around the festival.
That sounded a little nerve-wracking to me, but intriguing. I mean,
we kind of let people do what they want to do. If someone has like a weird idea for that stuff, like say, go ahead and do it, try it out. We'll see how it goes. Last year we had the River Flags. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
It was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Wang Ping did her prayer flags, she had gone around the world and done these workshops and readings and things like that and had people make prayer flags in honor of rivers in each location, and we strung them all around the main ballroom there at the Healing Center. And yeah, it was gorgeous and very cool. Yeah, so we kind of look for things like that that aren't just a single performance, and we like single performances too, but things to engage people all the time and also when they're not expecting it.
And I liked this one. There's no money in poetry, but there's no poetry in money either. It's so true.
Yeah.
Is that just going to be commiseration?
I think that one will be a reading.
I think it could be very easily. And then you're going to have 101st birthday celebration for a very famous New Orleans poet, Bob Kaufman. So I wonder if you talk a little bit about that. He's sort of getting more of his due as time goes
on. I mean, he's an incredible poet.
Yeah.
You know, incredible New Orleans poet, by way, went to San Francisco for a while and did his thing there and kind of spread out nationally from there. But these are kind of a lot of Houston poets, actually, who were kind of infatuated with Bob Kaufman, who are coming here to do something in honor of him, which is always nice.
And then Litcraft is witchcraft.
Yeah.
So how did that come to you?
So these are just things that people submit in their proposals. And we as a board vote on all these proposals. So it's 11 of us on the board. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just rank it how much we like it to how much we don't like it. If it's we love it, it's a 10. You know, it's okay, 7, 5, 3, 1. And we kind of, everybody votes democratically. We average it all out. And whatever sifts to the top is kind of a representation of everyone on the board's tastes in poetry and what they want to see and hear at the festival. So everyone kind of has a voice on the board to kind of manage what comes into the festival.
It's a wonderful way to do it. I love it. So someone can leap up and go, these are my people.
Yeah, hell yeah. People do that all the time. We love it.
Yeah. So what note would you like to end on? What note would you be?
Well, so
festival.
I think I've covered like the big events. So Thursday night is the kind of end of the Spice Poetry Series, which is organized by me and two other friends here in New Orleans, two other poets. We've been doing it for 4.5 years now. And so we're inviting back all the poets who have ever read, which were locals and out-of-towners. So there's about 60 poets who are going to read at Saturn Bar Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m.
Wow.
Everybody gets 2 minutes. Hopefully everybody keeps their 2 minutes. But that'll be a giant barrage of kind of poetry at the festival. Because a lot of people are reading at the festival, or local readers and stuff like that. So it's kind of seeing the entire local scene come out and perform their poetry that mm-hmm. Thursday night at Saturn Bar at 7 p.m. So that'll be cool. And it's all free and open to the public. And then Friday will be a beautiful day of panels and readings. There's an open mic Friday from 1 to 3 at Siberia. If you want to come out and read, that's a good place to come do it. You don't have to sign up. You just show up. And then Friday night's our international night, which I talked about earlier, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. at Cafe Istanbul, also free and open to the public. And then Saturday night, we have our main event. It's going to be at Siberia this year from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. We have a poet coming in, Courtney Bush, who is kind of a hyper-maximalist kind of talk poet, a mix between Kathy Acker and David Anton. It's kind of intensely interesting, but also very just kind of like verbal and relaxed as well. Mm-hmm. So she is an incredible poet, and she'll kill it for about 30 minutes up there. And then Jerome Ellis is also our headliner, who's going to do music and poetry and visuals and stuff. He's got 3 or 4 instruments he's going to bring in. He's going to project some stuff over it. So he should be pretty cool and strange and out there. And so we kind of hope to bring with these kind of main event poets, poets that, you know, a lot of people in New Orleans may have never heard of or may have never seen, something they can experience only at New Orleans Poetry Fest and not at any other festival.
Now, the other part of this festival that's so wonderful is the Small Press Book Fair.
Oh, yes.
At the New Orleans Healing Center. And Bill, as one of our longstanding publishers with Lavender Ink, talk about what that festival means to you. You'll be having a table, I assume.
Oh, yeah, I'll have a table.
With a new book and, of yours there, I hope.
Oh, yeah, my book will be there. And tons of Lavender Ink and Dialogos books and... It's going to be very cool, and it's going to be bigger. You know, usually it in the past has been mainly in the front part of that main hall. Well, mm-hmm. this year it's going to completely fill the entire ground floor there.
One of my favorite possessions is this run of a zine that I got at the poetry festival, and it was called 28 Pages Lovingly Bound with Twine.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy sent it out and it really was 28 pages lovingly bound with different kinds of twine. And I kept it for years.
Because
I loved it so much.
I would like to say one more thing about the Small Press Fair.
Sure.
So we got 53 tables this year, and we're doing a Small Press Fair happy hour. Uh-huh. So we got a lot of feedback from the small presses that kind of said, you know, the festival is very condensed. There's not a lot of free time to kind of move around and buy books and stuff. So we put in longer breaks this year between panels.
Smart.
In the afternoon is like a 30-minute break. There's a little more space for lunch. We end a little earlier, that kind of stuff. But from 4 to 5 p.m. at the New Orleans Healing Center on Friday, I believe April 6th, 17th, we're going to do a Small Press Fair happy hour. So there'll be no other events going on at the festival. It'll just be everybody, all 410 participants and all the other locals and stuff that are there. They can go to the book fair. They can buy a book. They can get a drink and they can get a snack.
Come look at books, people. That's the most fun thing in the world.
That's right.
Yeah, and actually, you know, come to any and everything you want.
Because it's all free.
It's all free.
That's right. No need to register or anything like that.
We raised the money to do the whole thing. You know, it's a few grants and some generous donors, and we managed to put together the funds to do the whole thing and make it free and open.
That is amazing. Thank you for all you do. It's a lot of work.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But it means a lot to a lot of people. So don't miss the New Orleans Poetry Festival and Small Press Book Fair coming up this week. It's going to be fun.
It is.
And check out nolapoetry.com for the complete schedule. And the Cubes, thanks a lot for coming in. I hope you all have a great festival.
Oh, thanks for having
us. Thank you so much. This has been great.
Thanks. I I'm so happy to welcome Chuck Perkins to The Reading Life. Chuck is a Renaissance man in our literary community. He wears many hats: activist, poet, spoken word artist, owner of Cafe Istanbul. His new book is Beautiful and Ugly Too. It collects work about the Crescent City where he was born and raised. There are essays about blackface, Mardi Gras, the police, poems about history, music, and people. It is a feast for the heart and a challenge for the mind. Chuck Perkins, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Susan.
So tell me the occasion for this book, why you decided to do it now.
During the pandemic, I actually wrote a memoir. And so I was really super excited about that. And I sent it to a few agents and, you know, they said, great storyteller, but you got to find the narrative arc. And, you know, I've been writing poetry for so long, and I'd never had a book of poetry. So I said, you know, I think I should put this book of poetry out, and that could help get my name out there. Maybe, you know, some people might become aware of me and, you know, and what it is I do. And then that might make it easier for me to do the memoir. So that's the way that's really the reason I decided to put together the book of poetry.
Well, it's a process.
It really is. And I got to say, the essays, a lot of the essays you see come from the memoir I wrote.
I wondered about that.
Yes.
And some of them have been published in The Lens.
Yes.
And other places. Tell us about the title. It comes from an epigraph by Langston Hughes, who inspires everybody.
You know, the title Beautiful and Ugly Too, Langston Hughes wrote an essay that was in The Nation in 1926. And I guess, you know, he was referring to all of the black creatives that were moving to Harlem in the early part of the 20th century. And, you know, the line, he says, well, if white people like what we do, then we appreciate that. But if they don't, then it doesn't matter because we know that we're beautiful and ugly, too. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes.
100 years.
Yep.
Langston Hughes, 100
You're right.
Years.
That, I didn't think about that, but that was from 1926.
A lot of the poems in this book have to do with New Orleans history and New Orleans lore and stuff that you've been steeped in all your life. Mm-hmm. And you do it with varying degrees of seriousness and humor and wisdom, you know. But one of the ones that's sly and funny is Street Names.
Oh, yeah.
Because that shows to me just what a virtuoso you are.
Oh,
so
thank you so much.
I wonder if you would read that one
I would
for
love
us.
To read that one. Yeah, I'd love to read it. It says, and you know, this is the kind of poem right here, like, and it's okay. But if you're not from New Orleans, you wouldn't have any idea what the hell I was talking about. So this poem
is just for us.
This is for my New Orleans people right here, right? It says, let me say this much. This is how this poem came about. When we came back home for Katrina, one of those first big second lines, right? Mm-hmm. There was this point where the whole moment of the day, it was more like a big family reunion. People were crying. We were all so happy to see each other. And when the whole movement, it was a crescendo, and it was like at the top of the thing. These kids were out there, and they had these street signs, and they started raising. It was like saying humanity, desire, pleasure. And I was like, wow, I was blown away by that.
Oh, wow.
And my aunt Carolyn lived in the St. Thomas Project. And even when they redid the project, she was one of the people who came back to live one of the old structures. And when I would go to her house, I always went by Religious and Nun Street. And that thing always struck me. So I went out, I got the guy book, Frenchmen Desire Good Children.
I love that
book. I read that book, and so then I came up with this. So I wove the story using all of these New Orleans street names. And it says, Chabatula goes to the market every day. He's a fisherman. After running through Julia and three Greek muses, he comes to Felicity. Napoleon plows through the Roman Colosseum, gathering steam at a cap, headed straight for Chapatula's. Chapatulis has already heard the muffled submission to Napoleon's fury after passing through Milan and Constantinople, so he raced to warn the Chippewa that they shouldn't cross Napoleon. Napoleon runs up the other side of the river to warn the other Chippewa. Instead, he runs into Robert, Amelia, Eleanor, and Duvasat, living his version of the movie Groundhog Day titled, Where Did All the White People Come From? In New Orleans, religious run from nuns, and saints double cross each other like two-bit hustlers. When St. Claude crossed St. Philip became so distraught, he ran straight to the Bourbon. St. Claude used to run with good children. He's a Renaissance man. Every day he's running to art, music, painters, desire, and piety. Every day in New Orleans, St. Claude runs from a flood to Poland and France and Spain. Martin Luther King meets the Spanish governors, Galvez and Miro. They try convincing him they're straight shooters. But every day they meet St. Bernard, it ends up being crooked. They both start out being smooth. Madison developed a complex because he was too short, Shirley bemoaned the fact that she didn't have any curves. Jeanette is constantly running to Monticello. When is she going to understand that the relationship's a dead-end street? The Frenchman is running to hope, law, benefits, abundance, agriculture, pleasure, and yes, humanity. People always whispering about the Frenchman. Well, I can tell you, I saw him when he went into the quarter. I saw him when he came out. I can assure you, that Frenchman was never straight.
Love that so much. It's so much fun for you to read it.
Oh, yeah.
You know it all.
Here's what's on tap this week in the literary life. Rap artist 2 Chainz discusses and signs The Voice in My Head is God. Friday, April 10th at 6 at Baldwin & Company. This is a ticketed event. The Octavia Book Science Fiction Book Club reads Briar Rose, a novel of the Holocaust. Saturday, April 11th at 10:30 a.m. at Octavia Books. Rachel Marsh reads from and signs her middle grade novel, Grand Pierre's Ghost Swamp, Saturday, April 11th at 11 a.m. at the Garden District Bookshop. Emily Nemens appears in conversation with novelist Josh Wheeler and signs her novel, Clutch, Monday, April 13th at 6 p.m. at Garden District Bookshop. Che Yuen discusses and signs her debut novel, Tailbone, Thursday, April 16th at 6 at Garden District Bookshop. Professor Gerald Kennedy, Boyd Professor of English Emeritus at Louisiana State University, presents the 36th Josephine Gessner Ferguson Lecture in English Literature, which will consider why Edgar Allan Poe is arguably the most widely known and read U.S. writer around the world, Thursday, April 16th at 7 p.m. in the Freeman Auditorium and Waldenburg Arts Center. A discussion and reception will follow. Commentator David Griscom appears in conversation with Nathan Martin and signs The Myth of Red Texas, Cowboys, Populism, and Class War in the Radical South, Friday, April 17th at 6 p.m. at Garden District Bookshop. The Friends of the Jefferson Parish Library hold their big book sale Friday through Sunday, April 17th through 19th, 2026 at the Pontchartrain Center, Williams Boulevard at the Lake in Kenner. Hours are Friday and Saturday, April 17th and 18th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, April 19th from noon to 5 p.m. Free admission and free parking. This is one of the largest book sales in the New Orleans area with over 65,000 items for sale, including gently used adult and children's books, puzzles, DVDs, CDs, and records. Cash and credit and debit cards are accepted, but no checks. The Books Along the Tesh Literary Festival will celebrate its 10th anniversary in New Iberia in April 2026. Each year brings readers, writers, and lovers of Louisiana culture together. This milestone year features Rick Bragg, Pulitzer Prize-winning author and storyteller, along with a dynamic schedule of events that showcases the cultural significance and beauty of Southern storytelling. Scott and Jane Wolfe, of Melba's Po' Boys fame, will kick off the festival Friday, April 10th at noon with their story of resilience, hard work, entrepreneurship, and love for each other. Check out the offerings on subjects as varied as Creole trail riders to romanticy, from the history of swamp pop and dance halls in Louisiana to the process of playwriting, and much, much more. The full slate of panels and presentations can be found here. Books along the Tesh Literary Festival.com. There is also a book fair and writing contest for both adults and children. The festival ends with Symphony Sunday in the Park on April 12th, a free event held at City Park and sponsored by the Iberia Cultural Resources Association. Three cultural events during the festival that are ticketed, and those involve food, drink, and music, an opening reception, a traditional Southern breakfast, and a Saturday evening concert. The New Orleans Poetry Festival and Small Press is coming up April 16th through 19th, headquartered at the New Orleans Healing Center on St. Claude Avenue. The book fair takes place all weekend long, Friday through Sunday, April 17th through 19th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's free, open to the public, and the place to score fresh books straight from presses. New this year, the Small Press Fair Happy Hour, Friday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the Grand Hall. Check out nolapoetry.com for the complete schedule. The really, really big book sale at Ladder Library is Saturday, April 18th, open to members only from 10 to 11 a.m., then to the public from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Use books, movies, and music.
Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Hellis Foundation, the Jefferson Parish Public Library, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in The Reading Life do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. The theme song for The Reading Life is by Matt Perrine and Sunflower City. The Reading Life is produced by George Ingmeyer and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at WWNO.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@WWNO.org.